two village idiots with a love-hate relationship.
See, you got fat.
See, you still look like a 15-year-old girl, but not hot.
Who can't stop arguing over Oklahoma sports.
You know what, man? Why am I still talking to you?
Come on, we were doing good there, man.
It's the Just Okay Sports Podcast.
Sooner Nation, Thunder Nation, we are back. This is the Just Okay Sports Podcast. I'm one of your village idiots, Daryl. I'm here with my brother, Jared, and we are going to be cooking it up. So talking lots of Sooners, lots of Thunder, although really more Sooners today, but that's typically what we hit. So again, if you end up liking this thing, please like, subscribe, follow, leave us a great review, and heck, go buy yourself a sticker or a t-shirt at our merch store. We would appreciate that as well on the Redbubble. Jared, how are you, man?
I'm good. It's hot. It's really hot. I mean, I think like the whole world is apparently hot right now.
Global warming.
Yeah, there's been aliens. They confirmed aliens exist. Or not even aliens. Sorry, non-human entities. Or whatever they call them. I don't even know, dude. It's so funny that the world is in such a weird place.
The word entity is a very strong word if you have seen the latest Mission Impossible. I can't say anymore because I know you haven't seen it, but entity is a triggering word.
Think about it. Like 10 years ago, if like the government came out, I was like, yeah, aliens exist or whatever. People would have been like, oh my God. And like now people are like, okay, cool. Are my groceries cheaper yet? Like, you know what I mean? Like nobody cares.
It is easier for people to put bread on the table right now.
Yeah. So anyways, it's really hot out. The weather here has been so crazy. But yeah, I mean, it's just been hot and really humid. We've had a lot of rain. Since the last time we potted, we had the family thing we had to go deal with. I had to drive from Florida to Houston and back in what, like 72 hours or something like that.
It was dumb.
It was a pretty big turnaround. I spent more time. I ended up thinking about it on the way back because I had plenty of time to think in a 15 and a half hour drive or whatever it ended up being. But I was like, I spent more time on the road than I did actually in Houston. A 1,000 miles one way. So 2,000 miles round trip. I don't know. I got a good little tour of the South of the United States. A nice little I-10, you know, love. I will say this is what's funny. Like everybody complains. Everybody's like, the bugs must be terrible in Florida. Bro, the bugs in Florida, they don't have anything, dude, on Louisiana and Mississippi. Like I hit Louisiana-Mississippi borders and it would look like I felt like I was driving through a scene in that scene in Constantine where he's just getting attacked by the swarm of bugs or whatever. Cause it's like, that's just what it was through the entire state. I swear. but yeah, so it's been crazy. We've had a lot happen since the last pod. So.
Dude, well, it's somebody reminded me the other day, I believe it's been like 50 days since our last pod. So it's been crazy. I was out of country. Troy was gone. As soon as we got back, we had the deaths in the family and we had Jared and I got to do back-to-back funerals and it's just been, yeah, it's been all the stuff. So, but we're glad to be back and it's good timing because fall camp is here. Football is here. Matter of fact, week zero, my friend, is 20 days from today. We are recording on August 6th, by the way. In 20 days, week zero begins, which is just crazy to think about.
You know, I do have to say it's going to be, this is what's going to be unbearable for me for the next 3 weeks. The F1 right now is on their summer break. So they've got 4 weeks away. So they come back the same week as week one is with the first race weekend. I think is August 28th, maybe, or something like that. Anyway, so I don't have any F1, until then. I don't have there's no really any other sports. The women's national team got knocked out today. It's like, what am I gonna do? Like, I guess Wrexham started, but their star player, they got the crap beat out of them in their first game in the new league. It looked like a basketball score. It was like 5-3 or something. Just a ton of goals for a soccer game. But yeah, it was just it's gonna be unbearable. But I am excited. Like, I'm like, look, just get me there. Get me to September. You know, give me to week one. I mean, week zero, I'll be fine to see week zero, but you know what I mean? I really want to see how you trot out there.
Hey, which, by the way, shameless plug, my church is doing a barbecue contest and tailgate party for week zero, and we have the one and only Curtis Lofton going to be joining us.
So I'm fine. I like for everybody that's like, oh, Jared definitely knew about that. No, I don't know anything. I find out like the family news and stuff from my brother on the pod. This is the only time we actually have a conversation.
This is all come together very quickly. It has all come together very, very, very quickly. So it just became official like this weekend. But so yeah, it's going to be a great time. So if you're in the Edmond area, come chill with us on August 26th and play cornhole. You're going to get great barbecue and Curtis Lofton. It's going to be a day, man. You got to be there.
I will have to text Scotty because Scotty apparently has hung out, I think, twice now with Antonio Perkins.
Whoa, okay, now.
Yeah, so I'll see if he can, like, you know, do some plugs. But and then, like, Mo joked that he was, like, he had a conversation with Baker Mayfield. He was going to get Baker Mayfield on the pod. I was like, bro, I was like, we're like, no, Baker Mayfield's not going to come on our pod, dog. Like,
hey, if he gets beat out by Kyle Trask, he's going to have to come on a podcast like Just Okay.
No, he's going to be a starter. I'm going to go over there and watch the game.
There you go. Well, hey, before we get into camp stuff, I know it's been talked about for multiple days now, but still, I know for you and I, this isn't a big deal. Again, yes, we plug our merch store, but we also plug the merch store because a big part of that is we give a portion of all that to Make-A-Wish because our mother, this is actually the 14th year of our mother passing away from cancer. And so cancer is a big deal. So obviously the news came out about Brent Venables' wife having breast cancer and surgery a few weeks ago and all the things, you know, prayers, thoughts, all the different things out to the Venables family. And I did not know this until like yesterday. I guess there started to be a lot of fans starting to kind of put out there and to have the conversation, but it's all been by question thus far of, is the school going to do a pink out for the first game of the season against Arkansas State? Let's just say this for the Just Okay Sports Podcast. Joe C has never invited us over for lunch, right? He's yet to do that. So we have no pull there. But I would just say this. I think Sooner Nation just needs to do it. So this, like, I'm just saying it now. Like, there's no striping the stadium. There's no whatever for Arkansas State. It's the opening game. It's going to be big. If you've got a pink hat, a pink shirt, a pink whatever, put it on. Like, that just needs to be an organic Sooner Nation rallies around the Venables family. I think that would be fantastic, and it just needs to happen. It just needs to spread and go. You agree?
Oh yeah, 100% I agree. I mean, I think it'd be really awesome to see if Sooner Nation just did it themselves. I hope the school puts out something to maybe encourage it as well.
Sure.
But yeah, I mean, it was really interesting. It was really kind of heart-wrenching to see because, you know, Brent Venables, when he does interviews, he's very amped up. He's an emotional guy, you know, he's emotionally fueled guy, but to see his like emotion go from excitement of around football and, you know, his passion to like, you know, you could see the worry and the, you know, all the emotions that come with that sort of thing with his family. So, you know, it was, you know, like I said, we hope for the best. And, but yeah, if we can do the little pink out just to show a little support, I think that would go a long way.
Yeah, I agree. So if you are listening to this pod, get on Twitter, get on whatever, and just start. It just needs to start going out. And for Saturdays, you know, everybody's wearing pink to an OU game. Like, that's just it. And we're going to let Coach V know and his family know that everybody's behind him. Now, let's talk about media days real quick. So we had the Big 12 media days, which I don't know that you necessarily get a ton from those other than kind of the guys they select to go down there, right? I think that's one of the more fascinating things. But the local media days happened last week. So just from that, any overall, how did you feel about the vibe, maybe from the players, the coaches, just kind of overall as you kind of took in the levy, the roof, the players, the Venables, how are you feeling after media day?
I mean, I felt like you always have to take it with a grain of salt when it comes to, especially early season, like, more planned out way in advance sort of things like a media day, because like they're going to be, whoever they're taking is going to be coached up, right? Like, they don't go to the kid 24 hours beforehand and say, hey, you're going to this, and just hopefully you're ready. Right. Like, they've been coached on what to say and, you know, what not to say or whatever. But at the same time, I felt like even the coaches, the players, I felt like everybody was pretty like honest. They were like, look, like last season wasn't anywhere near what we wanted to be. It wasn't like there was no trying to sugarcoat it. And I feel like you've seen other programs that have tried to like sugarcoat when they have a bad season. There wasn't really any of that. So I respected that. I think they're like, they seem excited to get back out there. You know what I mean? They seem motivated and I guess just, I don't know, ready to go. Obviously this is fall camp and Schmitty fall workouts, but you know, I think they're excited. Like, I think there's and it was interesting. There was interesting selections in the I think there were a couple of selections for the players they sent was actually pretty interesting. So I know Gabe and Teddy talked about that on their pod. And like, it was kind of funny because Gabe was like, I don't know if I'm just gonna like walk up and ask him, like, why did coach send you? You know, but yeah, I mean, I think it shows that there's a lot of, I think there's going to be a lot of surprises this season, I think, based on, just who was there. And I just think with, the attitude that they have, I think there's going to be a lot of surprises this season.
Yeah. I would say the thing that kind of surprised me, I don't know what the right word is. I want to say it's confidence, but really it was comfort, you know, yeah. Like everybody felt like they knew what to do way more than last year. You know, there was a lot of, man, we're going to have to learn this. We're going to have to figure this out. We're, you know, we're trying to get this ready and we've tried to walk through this, but now you've had a whole year in the calendar. And so that comfort, I think, though, comes from a confidence right within the team. And so I think that's maybe the biggest thing. But as Venables and all them answered questions with the local media, was there anything specific that kind of got you excited? And was there anything specific that came out of that that maybe worried you a little bit as you listened to everybody walk through all that stuff?
I mean, from it specifically, I don't know. I mean, it's been a little bit since then. But yeah, I mean, I don't think there's anything that really necessarily worries me too much. I mean, like I said, it's hard for me to say, because I think there's already an overwhelming worry from a lot of Sooner Nation, I think really from everybody, that you just went 6-7, right? And I think everybody in the back of everybody's head is everybody's worried about the doom of what's going to happen if we stay on that slide, you know? So I don't know. I think it's hard for me to say as far as the negative side of things for me to say anything, because I think there's just like, it's easy to attach that to everything with just the overall sentiment of the fan base. But the positive is, I think you kind of nailed it on the head to me. I mean, not anything specific, just, but you know, like you said, the fact that now it's like when guys talk, they're talking about something like that feels like they've studied, right? Like, last year it felt like there's a bunch of really smart football guys up there, but they don't really know what they're talking about in this scenario, right? Like, you can be a really brilliant scientist and you can know everything about biology, but you're not going to know anything about astrophysics, right? You can probably kind of like, you know, give a little bit of make some stuff up and stumble your way through it. And that's kind of what, you know, now when you look back at it, I think that there was a lot more of that. And this year, like you said, they seem to be a lot more comfortable, and straightforward. So,
yeah, absolutely. And for me, I'll kind of offense, defense, I think the specific that got me really excited was hearing about the depth at running back, which we've kind of known is there, but still, like, to hear DeMarco Murray say Caleb Hicks has had one of the best freshmen, like, you know, leading up kind of offseason type things that I've ever seen. I mean, that dude just continues to get praise, right? Like, an overabundance, not coach speak, but real praise. The other guy that I was really excited about, and this is going to be dumb, and I know, and I posted this in Discord the other day, which if you're not in the Discord, join us there. It's a great time. The way Emmett Jones talked about Jaden Gibson was impressive. Jaden Gibson, he said, every day when we got our GPS report on the guys doing workouts, Jaden Gibson was one of the top guys in speed every single week, right? Like, he was always up there. I'm trying to remember what else he meant. Oh, this was the statement. Jaden Gibson knows the playbook so well, knows what the linemen are doing, the running back doing, and everybody. He could play quarterback for us next week if we needed him to. I thought that was big, right?
Yeah.
And so he kept saying things like that. And here's the thing. All anybody as a fan can think of is the drop passes in the spring game and even the drop passes as a true freshman last year. And those are issues. There's no doubt. But this is not a guy that has taken a season and a half of dropping passes and said, man, I'm just, you know, I got to start over or I need to go somewhere new. When you know the playbook so well that your coach says you can play quarterback, you are engaged. When you're at the top of the list and all the speed things, you are engaged. And look, I do think that we forget Jaden Gibson came in as a true freshman, losing the coach that was supposed to be coaching him right before the season and got basically a grad assistant to step in for the season. You know, I don't think that we could see his maturity really come through in that situation well. So that a guy that is 6'4" and can run like that, if we can just get him to catch the ball, that's a game changer, right? So that was incredibly exciting.
Yeah, and just to piggyback off that a little bit, something that I recall now is the Emmett Jones, for one, two things really about it. One is he just talks in a way that you can just tell that the players love him. I think like he's obviously recruiting very well. I think he's been more of a – he's so far has been much seemed like a much better hire than I think even a lot of us anticipated. But the other thing was it was really interesting to hear him talk a little bit about Gavin Freeman, who was originally being recruited to Texas Tech, and like Texas Tech basically I ghosted him,
moved
I guess,
away from their offer.
Yeah. And they basically told him just don't talk to him. You know, so and I think he even said, he's like, that's not how I want to operate, and that's not how we operate on this staff. So it was a little refreshing to hear that too. So but yeah, I mean, like Emmett Jones is just that dude, with him and DeMarco, there's a lot of like really amped up energy just out of those two, just as far as like having those guys that would run through a brick wall for him sort of energy. You know what I mean?
Yep. No doubt. As far as the things that got me not excited or worried, I wanted to hear some of those kinds of exciting statements made about the defensive line. Like, I felt like the most standout statement about the defensive line from Todd Bates, as far as the interior goes, we now have, you know, five guys over 300 pounds. When we got here, we had two, right? Like, but you did not hear, I didn't feel like in anything that I saw those coaches answer, I didn't feel like he said Dejon Terry is going to be a guy that's going to be a game changer, right? Like, you didn't hear, hey, Isaiah Coe has really figured it out, right? What you heard was, hey, those guys have had great summers, right? They've worked hard. They've done what we've asked. They're prepared. I mean, that is as coach speak as you can get on our defensive line. To me, what I heard was our defensive line's still not great, but we're hoping we can coach them up. Like, that's what I heard, right? As opposed to, like, Gavin Freeman. When Brent Venables comes in the room and says Gavin Freeman was our best wide receiver and it wasn't even close through the spring, and by the way, that doesn't mean we suck at wide receiver, that's a huge, strong statement, right? Like, that's I'm putting this guy out here, like, watch him. Like, he's going to come to work. You have not heard that about any interior defensive lineman.
Well, and even I believe, I don't remember if it was Brent, one of the coaches, it may have been Levy even, I don't remember, one of them said something about him being, Freeman being a workout freak. And then Schmitty actually like even tweeted, but he said it in the deal, but he said like, no, like he is like, he's the hardest worker in the weight room. So like, even if you're getting high praise from Schmitty, it's like I said, Freeman, is he going to do something? You know what I mean? Like, I'm slowly getting, I mean, he obviously has already shown that he has some ability, but is he going to be able to turn like a corner and go to another level? You know what I mean?
Yeah. But all that to say, like, those are the kinds of things you'd want to be hearing about your defensive lineman, right? Where, like, when we talk about the ends, we hear that about PJ, right? We hear that about our Mason Thomas, which is that's an improvement for this team, but the interior is where we're worried, you know? And so I just wanted to hear some names. Now we'll see what happens as the pad gets on and all that stuff. So have you got a chance to see any of the footage stuff from their little open practice times at all?
Yeah, I like watch the like some of the linebacker drills, and I mean, you know, I've watched a few here and there. There's been a lot of people posted. It's such a different culture, I guess. Again, that, you know, under Lincoln, it was so shut down and so locked down that it was like you had like one source maybe to get any sort of footage, and then now it's like there's 10 people posting 10 different angles of practice of them doing all these drills. So yeah, I don't know, it's there's just a lot to consume, but yeah, I've watched quite a bit of it.
Anything that has stood out to you from that? I mean, just from seeing guys physically and those kinds of things.
I mean, PJ is not human. The dude's not human. He might be one of the non-human entities. We need to make a shirt. We need to make a shirt with his like face on it or something, and then it just says non-human entity. I'm gonna be the merch, like the chief merch officer.
I love that.
But yeah, I mean, PJ is a lot of guys look massive. You know, and like I said, it's not even really just the freshman. I think even like Stutzman has looked like he's put on a little bit of weight. Like he just looks a little bit, you know, bulkier. You know, there's a lot of guys that just stand out. And like I said, the practices are physical. Like they're doing drills and they're doing it. They're playing hard. They're being physical. They're making contact. It's not just, you know, it's just a different vibe. I'd even say like, last year, remember us talking about how physical it was by comparison. And it's like, I think we went from like a level one to like a level five. And like now we're at like level like 12, you know, like we're really getting to where they're amping it up. So there's a lot, like I said, there's so much to consume. So that even that in itself is something that's different.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'd say one of the things from those videos, you can really see the transformation of the D line. That's again, that's been the positive, right? From 200-300 pounders to 5. Kelvin Gilliam looks great. Grayson Halton looks great. Dejon Terry looks awesome. Dude, same thing. When he comes around the corner, it's like that, like that's not normal. Like that is otherworldly. And now we just got to see if it'll translate to play on the field, you know, and what that looks like. But that's been that. The other thing I think that's been really interesting is watching what OU released of footage and then what the other people put in. You've seen one day. So if you pay attention, Brent Venables likes to do the number one kind of lead of the pack, right? Leads drills. Does that make sense? Like in the front of the line, and that, you know, your ones, your twos, your threes kind of line up in order. There was one day where Kobe McKenzie was right behind Stutzman doing things. And then there was one day where Jaron Kanick was. So obviously there's a competition definitely brewing there. It's going to be, if they both look great. Kobe has transformed his body. Jaron Kanick has transformed his body. Both of them look like they have great feet. I don't think there's any question that Jaron is probably a better athlete overall, like faster a little bit. But man, Kobe has come a long way. And dude, when you just watch that guy even hit a pad, there is force that comes with it.
I feel like he's one of those guys. Like Kanick is a guy that's going to be able to chase you down and, you know, grab you. McKenzie is that guy that's going to be able to just literally knock your block off. I mean, he's just gonna, if he comes downhill, it's gonna hurt, you know. So there's a little different style of play there, but I like I said, it's I think they both have crazy potential, so we'll see what happens. Like I said, and it's one of those things, again, Brent's talked about that. That's one thing that he even talked about. I think he talked about it during there, maybe it was Levy, but one of them was talking about how there is that they want depth, or they want competition and depth, right? Like, so they were like, I think somebody asked
competitive
about,
depth, know, man, has been the word for the last like month and a half.
Yeah. So it's like they're really showing it, because you have right now two running backs that are like shown to be, you know, somewhat proven, I guess. Not to say proven, but you know, I mean, they've showed enough flash that you're like, they could be here for a while and they're could be really, really good. And you're still, we're going to get into that in a little bit, but you still got recruits coming in. You know, they're still trying to build depth. They're not just saying, okay, we're good. They're saying, we want you to come in and compete. And they're getting people to buy into that culture. So,
yeah, absolutely. Well, with all that, I wanted to bring us back. So we did something with a caveat that we could adjust. So if you remember, right before the spring game, we just picked two things. We picked out a breakout offensive player for the year, and we picked out a breakout defensive player of the year. So I pulled it back up because we said pre-fall camp, you could make an adjustment. And then even post-fall camp, you could make an adjustment. We would just keep notes of how much adjusting we actually did, right? So your breakout offensive player, Jared, was Jacquez Pettaway.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And your defensive breakout player of the year for OU was Taylor Wine. Mm-hmm. Taylor Wine. Staying, taking a change, calling an audible.
I'm going to take a change. Man, I think for right now, oh man, I'm almost tempted to change both of them. But I'm going to stick with Pettaway. I'm going to leave Pettaway.
Yeah,
but my breakout defensive player.
Okay.
And I kind of want to put this as a caveat because I don't think that they're going to be, they're not going to be like the all-star or anything, like, you know, but they're going to be somebody that's going to get a lot more playing time, I guess, is like how I'd phrase it as a breakout. Like they're going to be the guy that's going to show that they have a future at OU. And I know somebody we just talked about, Kobe McKenzie. I'm going to go with Kobe McKenzie as my breakout defensive player.
Okay. All right. Gotcha. You're in. All right. Mine, you're going to laugh at one of mine, so it's okay. My offensive breakout player was DJ Graham.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, I even boldly said that DJ Graham would lead this team in receiving. That's what I said as my prediction. Yeah, no big deal. And my defense was Gentry Williams. So Gentry Williams is staying for me. I'm not changing that pick. He continues to get rave reviews. As of today, I would still put my money and chips in that Gentry will be the starting corner opposite of Woody Washington to start the year. DJ Graham. I just don't know. It feels like they're trying to like keep him classified, right? Because right at the end of spring, you got Emmett Jones saying, man, that dude in my room is a big deal. And I've told him like how much I need him. And he says all these glowing things about DJ Graham and you haven't heard anything else. Then we go to the spring game itself and he makes two of the greatest, like, two great plays in the only snaps he got in all of the spring game. One catch was a ridiculous catch.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't hear anything else about him. It's just like, really? Like, the guy's got the athleticism. So I'm going to hold.
Are they playing it close to the chest, I guess, is the question, right?
Yeah, it sure feels that way.
And what's funny is we're so competitive because I don't even want to say, because Troy's going to have to come on Wednesday or whatever we do the next pod. And I don't want to give away what my backup right now is for offensive because I do already have somebody in mind, but I don't want to say who it is.
Oh, I have a good idea. I have a good idea there. But yes. And Troy's were Sawchuck, which I think is still a great pick, and Dasan. You know, he kind of went chalk on those, but we'll see. And yes, we will be potting again Wednesday. Going to really talk a lot of realignment and those kinds of things. But anyway, so now moving out of fall camp, we're going to have to wait till the pads get on to really know something. But let's talk a little recruiting. Dude, since we left, and I don't even think I have all of them, I think I've missed plenty. But what I can tell you is that OU has gotten Taylor Tatum, the number one running back in the country. I can tell you they've gotten Zion Raggins, who's a very good wide receiver with speed for days on days on days. They got a three-star interior offensive lineman in Eugene Brooks. And then they got Davin Mitchell, who was the number one tight end overall in the 25 class, but at his announcement also announced that he was reclassifying to the 24 class And I believe he's still like the number three or number four tight end in the class. Yeah. Like
Frey is a big fan. I don't know if you could hear that. Frey is a big fan, apparently.
And so, and then in the 25 class, I got Elijah Thomas, who, man, there's some people, dude, that think that guy could skyrocket, an Oklahoma kid as well. So, and then announcement wise, we've got Caden Durham is announcing this week on the 10th. We've got Jaden Nickens, who's a class of 25 wide receiver as well, announcing on the 12th. We've got Williams Nwaeri. He's going to hit it up on the 14th. August 24th, Andy Bass, who I think is a very interesting prospect for this group. And then the 26th, the Stone himself, David Stone, will announce. And then Nigel Smith on September 8th. So needless to say, the month could be crazy. Oh, I know who I missed. I missed Michael Patterson. What am I thinking?
Yeah, you're an idiot.
Oh my gosh. He was another commitment. If you're not a recruiting follower, Michael Patterson McDonald was our other commit at safety in there as well.
I did think it was funny, by the way. Somebody tweeted, why isn't Gerald McCoy recruiting David Stone anymore? Why isn't he, you know, like actively trying to get him to go to OU? And like Gerald McCoy actually responded to the guy and was like, you think I'm not talking to him just because I'm not doing it on Twitter? Like,
yes.
I guess X now, whatever we're calling it.
Oh my gosh. Let's not go down that rabbit hole.
But a lot of momentum. I do say it was so funny because I listened to Gabe and Teddy talk about Taylor Tatum, right? And it was obviously his choices were down to USC and OU. And for people that don't know, there was a lot of talk about him going to USC. Up to like the probably about, I would say, like a couple weeks before commitment, it was pretty much all USC. I think all the writers had their crystal balls to USC and everything. And then all of a sudden, it swung back the other way. Big win for not only Venables, Lebium, DeMarco, and all those guys, but Skip Johnson. Skip, we got to give a shout out to him for that. But the fact that it was ripped out of the hands of USC just. You hate to see it, but more than that, you love to see it, you know? So, it's they're finally getting in some of those battles though, and getting some wins, you know? I mean, I know there's no name on the dotted line yet. So they're still going to have to recruit these guys, all of them. But you're finally starting to see them win some of these battles and be like meaningful. Like it used to be like, you know, I feel like a lot of guys would put OU on their top five or three or whatever.
Right.
And it was just to kind of have like a big name on there. And it's like now it's like, no, like there's legitimate smoke that some of these guys might end up. So, yeah, exciting time. And what's crazy about it, right before we did the last pod, everybody was freaking out about how we had no recruiting momentum. Recruiting was dead and we were so screwed and everything was doom. And then now it's like we're on a rocket ship. I'm making a lot of alien references. We're doing I'm trying to incorporate that in. So for our new non-human entity overlords, you know, get them as Sooner fans.
Look, man, this was the same last year. Everybody freaked out when Texas got off to a scorching start and Georgia and everybody else. And then OU closed really strong. I mean, look at this month. I mean, look, like Caden Durham, another running back, another top running back in the country, down to us in LSU. It's really interesting with him. Like listening to some other podcasts, insider type people, talking to some people a week ago, they were like, this is all LSU. And then I've heard and seen some guys putting out, dude, OU's kind of back in it. Like they're not quitting and they're not giving up on him. And they want him. And I think one of the big reasons that they're really fighting for Caden Durham in this class is, like we've talked about, Taylor Tatum is a legit baseball prospect. If he comes to OU in red shirts, right, for his starting year at base or in football and goes over to baseball and lights it up, he could very well get drafted right out the gate, which now that means Caden Durham and Xavier Robinson are your running back class. You know, now Caden Durham is also a track guy. And LSU, you cannot argue with what they do on the track front. They are very, very, very good there. So we'll see what happens. But again, DeMarco Murray just flexing, because a week and a half ago, I think people thought this was a done deal to LSU. And what I'm hearing right now is that OU has not given up, and they have given Durham a lot to think about. We'll see.
And there's, you know, with Williams Noiri, there's a lot of, I've heard a lot of podcasts. I've heard a lot of guys talking about how that's like a full court press to get him. I mean, that's, they're throwing everything they can. And it, almost to a different level than what we would have, like, again, what we would have seen in the past, I feel like. I mean, it's, they are very much trying to get him in the boat. And like I said, they have a shot, so we'll see. There's a lot of things. And like I said, I always say this, so I'll preface this. One, we're just fans. We're not really that connected or anything. I know maybe a couple of people that might give me a little nugget of something, but even that's, you know, what is what it is. But it's like, guys, these are 17, 18 year old kids. We're not going to know. So we'll see. Let's see what happens, you know, this coming month. And we'll hopefully have some smiles when we get to the end of the month.
Yeah. And I mean, obviously, Noiri, Stone and Nigel Smith are the biggest ones, right? Through that window of time. Andy Bass is a great prospect to go check out. He's a local kid, Heritage Hall. Apparently can run for days. Apparently dumb fast and just a great athlete. Jaden Nickens is a 25 guy, but I mean, there's just a lot. There's a lot going on in recruiting. But all this to say, like we've said 1,000 times, if Williams Noiri does not verbally commit to OU, it's not over. They are going to throw the sink at him until signing day, right? The same is true, though, if all these guys commit to OU and OU throws another 6-7 season out there. Well, guess what? You're going to start seeing guys jumping ship. So this is still long from over. It's nice to have it. The momentum helps, but just take a deep breath. Know that it's not over, and there's plenty of time to still turn the tide and work some things going. So, excuse me, but man, OU staff is doing a fantastic, fantastic job. Guess what? The Pac-12 no longer exists. How about
that? That happened real fast.
Oof. Man.
It's
never a great month when your main commissioner says, we're going to be announcing our TV package on Thursday. We're going to announce it soon. Well,
the funny part is like the commissioner, like the Pac-12 made a statement after everybody had already like announced that they were going to other conferences. There's four, I think there's technically four teams in the Pac-12 right now.
Yes, that's correct.
And they were like, well, you know, here at the Pac-12, and I'm like, dude, what? You know what I mean? Like, it's the dude that's like at the grocery store with no groceries left. And he's like, hey guys, here at Kroger, you know, like here at the Smart Shop or whatever. It's like, dude, no, like it doesn't exist anymore. And it fell apart so fast. Colorado, Arizona, and Arizona State, and somebody else are coming to the Big 12 in 2024. Utah. And I think what's something that people aren't talking about a ton is, you know, USC and UCLA went to the Big 10. And I think that they, like, a part of the thought process there was that they were going to be able to kind of run the Western portion of the United States because they were going to have the Big Ten flag, but kind of be the only two schools out West, right? And now you got Oregon and Washington, I believe, are joining the Big Ten. So it's like you're basically taking who were the two other big threats on the West Coast with you, and they're going to be in the same conference. So you didn't really, USC and UCLA didn't really gain that advantage. I mean, the only advantage they're going to get is that maybe they can get some games scheduled where it's not, you know, 5 a.m. in the morning when they start playing their games on Sundays.
Yeah. And obviously the payday, that's the driving force behind all this stuff. And, but man, kudos. Like, look, man, like, you know, there was a big conversation in the Discord and on Twitter about, is the Big 12 now the third strongest conference? And I don't know about any of that, but here's what I know. The Big 12 survived. The Big 12 is in a position to keep playing football for a long time. And look, Brett Yormark, you came into a situation finding out your two biggest brands were gone, and that still hurts your conference. but you turn it around and salvage it when, I mean, look, it was just a few years ago that everybody said the Big 12 is on life support. It's done. It's going to be the Pac-12, the ACC, and the SEC, and the Big 10, right? And now the script is completely flipped. And the Big 12 is sitting in a very strong position.
Well, and honestly, this is what's funny is, like, I feel like, Brett Yormark, I feel like when you look at what he's doing, it's like, it's almost infuriating. Because it's like partially he's doing a lot of things that OU and Texas have been begging for the Big 12 to do for a decade, right? And now they're doing those things. And like they're having the, I forget what they're calling it. They're calling it like the Big 12 home field thing or whatever, where they go to, I think it's like 5 or 6 of the campuses across the year or something. I don't remember how many it is. And they have like a giant event where they're going to have like all this stuff going on, and it's going to be like a showcase for that particular school's home field sort of thing. And it's kind of funny because OU and Texas aren't on that list, even though they're headed out the door, which I guess kind of makes sense. They're doing it across the four
new teams.
But we're going to, what was it going to be?
One of them is our game at Cincinnati. Like that's one of those guys.
Yeah. Yeah, so they'll do one at UCF here, and they'll do one, you know, wherever. But which I was like, I think is a cool idea. Like, why were you not doing that? You know, and so yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see how that went. But like I said, they're doing all the right things. It's almost infuriating. I personally, I don't really like. I'm not one of those people that's going to like hate the Big 12, in the sense of like I'm just not going to care when we go to the SEC. We're going to be in the SEC, right? So, but it is a little bit infuriating that it's like, why did you not, if you'd done this 2 or 3 years ago, then OU and Texas may not be leaving.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's Bob Bowlesby. Thanks so much. I mean, that's why we are where we are, is because of his lack of,
yeah, that's, this is, engagement. this goes out to the Oklahoma State fans that, yeah, it's blame Bob Bowlesby. Don't blame OU and Texas. Blame Bob Bowlesby.
Right. Yeah, no doubt. So, speaking of blaming OSU fans, OSU fans are really up in their feels as OU softball got a transfer this week as well in Kelly Maxwell. And let's just talk about this for a second. This girl, dude, not this last one, but the one before. So that had been 22, right? The 22 Women's College World Series. The girl had her team in the College World Series final until her base or her defense just starts throwing the ball all over the place, right? And I think that even included her somewhat, but all that to say, man, nails on the mound. I mean, just this is a incredible get, not only because it's local and a stinking Stillwater girl, but good Lord, man, like if they can tap into her pitching potential, that okay, like it's going to be ridiculous.
I did make the joke the last pod that if she did commit, that we need to make a shirt that somehow referenced OSU being the farm team for OU.
Nice.
But yeah, no, I mean it's a good get. I mean it's funny because it's like it still doesn't fully remove the sting from losing Jordy Ball. You know, but at the same time, it's like Patty Gasso just goes burr. I mean, she's just, and it's like, I don't really get it. It's like, you can just tell that people like come and want to play for her, you know? And she's able to do that. I mean, she's able to go, it's because it's not just like, I mean, obviously being an OSU girl, it's like she had some encounters, you know, same sort of recruiting trails and all that sort of stuff. But it's like, dude, she's going and getting people from all over the country. So it's just wild.
What is going to be interesting is, you know, everybody thought the Indiana girl was going to transfer to OU, who like led the country in batting average or whatever as a freshman, right? Mm-hmm. But she's added all these pitchers. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you go look right now at the career numbers for the pitchers, and then you still have Nicole May, right? You still got a deal. Like, you still got just so much. It's like they're going to be able to throw in a weekend 5-6 pitchers that have shown the ability to, like, legitimately, like, throw a straight-up no-hitter. Like, everybody keeps talking about the offense. I think the offense will like it did last year, not majorly, but a little bit, took a step back, right? I think you're going to see probably a little bit more of that with some that, I mean, Grace Lyons is going to be gone and some others, right? Haley Lee is going to be gone. So there's a lot of bats going to be out of there. But good Lord, they're going to be able just to throw arm after arm after arm at you. Like, even last year was the first time we've seen a long time. Oh, you have three pitchers that you go, okay. Like, I feel very good about any three of those girls pitching right now. They might have five
next year. And that's, and it, what's funny is it's like Patty is very good. I feel like, because if you look at all the teams, look at all the teams that were in the playoffs and the super regionals and whatever in softball last year, right? They all had good pitchers, right? Like they all had, at least one ace. And I think that's kind of where softball is going, is it's going back towards the pitching side of things. If you look at, like you said, the year before last team and some of those other teams, it's like, oh, you just was able to outbat everybody. You know, Jocelyn Allo would get up there and you knew she was almost guaranteed to crank one every single game. You know, and it's kind of going the other way where it's like we're seeing a lot more of the being a bullpen fight. So, and right now OU's in prime position. So that's exciting stuff.
Absolutely. So, and then as far as just sports in general, women's team, man, we kind of mentioned it earlier, but God, bro, I was up this morning. I was at church getting things ready at about 5 a.m. They were going into PKs. I turned it on, started to watch, as I was finishing stuff up, and what a brutal way to end a game. And by the way, if you don't know, it went to penalty kicks that were tied after the first five. And just long story short, it came down to Sweden had the kick. If they make it, they win. If they miss it, then we keep going, right? In the penalty kicks. And she rifles one, and our goalie guesses right, gets her hands on it. Like, I'm instantly in my office. I'm like, yeah, it's like we're still in it. And then the ball, like, instead of going out, kind of just goes straight up in the air. You see our goalie start crawling on the ground, reaches up, grabs the ball, throws it out. I'm like, we're good, we're good. They go to instant replay, and like, even in the instant replay, like the line on this little digital screen, right, is less. It's like this. And that's like, that's a goal. Like, it is in by literally a pixel. Goal, game over. Women knocked out. Yeah, it was crazy. And by far their best soccer they played the whole tournament.
Yeah. Yeah. And what's, you know, I guess people are gonna be like, oh, he's a Sweden fan. No, it was pretty wild to see. I mean, there's a lot of stuff about that. I mean, it's like they're out. You know, that's what I said. It's going to be a suffering time for me because now I feel like I don't have sports. I guess there's baseball. And we're getting, I guess, sort of close to where we're getting it to where it matters. Which, by the way, just real quick, the Rangers, what happened with the Rangers, guys? Like, okay, last year they won like 40 games the whole season, and then this season they're leading the Astros by, I think, like they're up, like, I haven't looked in a little bit, but they're like ahead 3 or 4 games. Like, they're leading.
Wow.
So I don't know. Anyway, so I guess I'm gonna have to watch baseball some more. And just keep track of fall camp because I don't have F1, I don't have football, I don't have basketball or anything. So it's like I'm in like a kind of a dead zone for the next month. So it's like I'm gonna have to suffer before I get to where I'm gonna be over. Like I said, it's kind of funny. The same weekend that football comes back is when F1 comes back and so forth and so on. So I'm pretty pumped for that, but I just gotta suffer through it until then.
Yeah. Well, again, it's really late for Jared, late for me. We're gonna wrap it up with that. But again, please don't forget to like, subscribe, leave us a comment, do the things. Again, even on our merch site, we got stickers. They're like $4. Go buy a sticker and help us out on that front. Would be great. But again, we're just fans talking sports. We are not insiders, just guys having a great time talking it all through. We will be back Wednesday with another pod that will focus a lot on realignment, as well as more Thunder talk with Troy with us. And we'll kind of see what's happened through camp through the rest of the week. So come back and check that out on Wednesday. I'm Daryl. That's Jared. And we will talk to you guys later.
Night, Baker.
Cha-ching, a Thunder Moneyball.
You can unhitch the wagon. Put the ponies in the ball.